hands it off. Left circle, McNabb. Dorofeev, one-timer. Blocked. Rattles around. Score!
Nobody is ever satisfied with one, so we're back for a second hour of the Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show.
Michael takes it on his backhand, forehand pass, Hanifin, score! Noah Hanifin, powerful goal!
From the Finley Chevrolet Fox Sports Las Vegas studio and live at lvsportsnetwork.com, here is Darren Millard and Ryan Wallace.
Rolling along, hour number two of the VGK Insider Show on a Friday. And the VGK Insider Show is brought to you by the Dollar Loan Center, where your first loan is on us. Apply for free at don'tbebroke.com to get up to $5,000. It's hour number two. Chris Chapman, what are we going to do?
Sticks down, drop the puck on hour number two of the VGK Insider Show.
All right, so we are ready to drop the puck. The Florida Panthers and Edmonton Oilers not yet ready. About 20 minutes or so from puck drop up in Edmonton. For the Oilers, it is an opportunity to extend the series to the distance. That's right, a win tonight for the Oilers gives us a Game 7 on Monday. A win for the Florida Panthers wraps up the season and gives Florida their first ever Stanley Cup championship. We've got to some of the burning questions we have going into game number six. I'm just ready to sit back and watch. Honestly, I'm ready to get into the groove with this game because game five was fantastic. I am expecting every game, however many more it goes, to be every bit as good as what we got in game five. And I'm just ready for these two teams to put it all out there on the line. So we'll get to some updates on the game as it gets started and underway. But right now, I wanted to do something that we had initially planned for yesterday, but as things tend to happen, we can move some things around. We can make those audibles, change on the fly, all of that. But what I wanted to do right now was take some of the higher ticket or most prominent unrestricted free agents right now in the game and bat around the idea of what we think is going to happen with these players. And I'm talking about Steven Stamkos, Sam Reinhart, Jake Guentzel, Jonathan Marchessault. That's an important one and a big one. Certainly here in Vegas, you've got Elias Lindholm and Brandon Montour. Those are the ones that I really think come front of mind when you think of high ticket, high level, unrestricted free agents. Guys that essentially would be able to pick wherever destination they want to go at whatever cap hit they want and probably get a contract. Those are the names that come front of mind. So I'm not sure how many of these we're going to get through because we might end up spending a lot of time on certain ones. But the big one, the biggest prize, if he gets there, is Steven Stamkos. And when you think of Stamkos, it is hard to think of Stamkos without thinking of Tampa Bay. He's got 550 goals, 1,137 points, all with the Lightning. He's been their captain for over a decade. He has been everything to Tampa. He's coming off of a 40-goal season at the age of 34. I don't understand why Steven Stamkos doesn't have a contract already in hand. I don't understand why the Tampa Bay Lightning have not signed him to an extension. I don't get it. Outside of, they're not going to. Like, there were moments where I believed, no matter how weird it got between the Lightning and Stamkos, that he would be back, that ultimately they would figure it out. But we're sitting here less than 2 weeks away from the opening of free agency. Stamkos still isn't signed, and it's not like the Tampa Bay Lightning have infinite amounts of cash that they can just throw at Steven Stamkos. Now, Stamkos is coming off of an $8.5 million AAV contract. Tampa has $5.3 million in cap space right now to use this offseason, and they've only got 18 players under contract. So when you do the numbers, when you look at the math, when you factor in what Tampa still has to do with a number of other players, not just their captain and Stamkos, I don't know that I see an avenue here. Chapman, talk me off the ledge. But I don't know that Steven Stamkos is going to be a Tampa Bay Lightning next season.
Yeah, I wish I could talk you off the ledge, because I think it's a money situation with them. Like, they just don't really seem to have a lot of wiggle room. I mean, when you look at their roster and you look at the coming up contracts and the guys from this year's team who are UFAs, I don't really look at anyone and say, yeah, you know, I think their priority is that guy. Like, maybe the closest player would be Anthony Duclair, but I don't really think that they value Duclair more than they would value Stamkos. The question is, if they sign Stamkos, what else do they have the room to do? And there's not a lot of room under what their current restrictions are in terms of them filling out a roster. They're going to have to get creative. Even without Steven Stamkos, I think they're going to have to get creative. Because as you mentioned, you only have 18 players in a contract. So unless you've got a bunch of guys coming up from the minors, and I'd be lying if I told you I knew what their minor league system looked like, this seems like it's not going to happen.
So, yeah, I mean, it's interesting because I guess the question that you need to start with when it comes to Stamkos is, what does the contract look like, right? You're talking about a guy who's coming off, again, an $8.5 million AAV contract. He scored 40 goals last year at age 34. He was one of the most important players for your team last season. He's not going to fall off a cliff. I don't believe he will anyway. What does the number start with for Stamkos?
With Tampa?
Would it be that?
With Tampa?
With Tampa.
What's 5 point what?
They've got $5.3 million in available cap space.
And what was he making previous?
He was making 8.5.
Oof.
And he's coming off a 40-goal year.
Oh, man. I think you get some type of hometown discount because he's played his entire career there. I'm sure his kids are in school there. He probably has a life in Tampa away from hockey. So I would imagine he wants to stay there. I don't know if it's a $3 million a year pay cut to stay in Tampa. Now, it should be noted, there is no state tax in the state of Florida. So
Hold on. He's not taking $3 million AAV to stay.
No. $3 million less than what he's currently making.
Oh, okay. You're talking about $5 million contract, AAV?
I think the number starts at probably 6.
It should. I think the number probably starts at 7.
Yeah. I mean, 6, if we're being very, very if Stamkos is like, you know what, I want to do everything I can to stay here, it starts at 6. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, I think it starts at 7. It has to. I mean, you got 40 goals out of the guy, 41 assists. You had 81 points from him. He's your heart and soul. He's your captain.
So here's my view on Stamkos. Let me put it a different way. Here's how I feel like I would react in this scenario if I were Steven Stamkos. I should have been your priority last offseason, right? I should have been the first guy that you put pen to paper with on a contract last season. When I was eligible for an extension, I should have had my name signed on the dotted line. And I was told by Julien Brisebois that we had to see where our team was. I'm the captain. I'm coming off of an 84 point year, 34 goals. Like, I'm sorry. You know who I am. You know how well I'm going to play. You know who I am in terms of this locker room. Take care of me. And it didn't happen. And Stamkos voiced his frustration at the beginning of this year saying, I would have liked to have had a contract already taken care of. And so far in the offseason, lest we forget, the Tampa Bay Lightning made a trade to reacquire Ryan McDonagh. And that didn't come cheap.
No.
So you're talking about $5.5 million, but you reacquire 6.7 of Ryan McDonagh's contract, and all of a sudden, your money to sign Steven Stamkos goes out the window, and you still need to sign more players. So if I'm Steven Stamkos, you didn't take care of me when it would have been more advantageous to do so. You didn't take care of me when I should have been a priority. It's not starting at a 6. My play warrants, to be honest, my play warrants an 8.5. Like, my play doesn't warrant taking a pay cut. If anything, I think Steven Stamkos on the open market can probably get $8.5 million AAV.
Easily.
Three years? 3 years? 8.5?
Yeah.
There's not a team in the world that's not going to do that.
I mean, and here's the other aspect of this. I know he missed a bunch of time the COVID year, when everything was, was kind of coming back in the Canadian divisions. He missed some time before that, too. For the most part, Steven Stamkos is a pretty durable player. Like, you look at how many games he's played the last couple seasons, 81, 81, 79, and he's given you 42, 34, and 40 goals in those last three seasons. Like, he's not falling off, and he's clearly capable of playing a full season for you. So I think he's going to command a lot of money on the open market. I'm curious where he would go, because I think he wants to win. Like, I feel like he wants to win, but the guy's got two cups. So maybe winning another cup is not the most important thing for him. Maybe getting paid is the most important thing. And if that's the case, there's a couple teams that are maybe on the brink that could sign him. I don't know what his interest level would be. But right away, I think Steven Stamkos, open market, I think Detroit Red Wings.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's an interesting one.
Reunite with Steve Yzerman.
Exactly it's exactly the type of player that the Red Wings could use.
You know, you had Patrick Kane, and you could say it kind of worked. It didn't, but he's better at this point in his career than Patrick Kane is. You're going to have to re-sign Lucas Raymond and Moritz Seider and a couple of other your RFAs, but that's not going to be top dollar. Like, those guys are going to get paid, but they're not going to take up everything in your salary cap. I mean, you've got a lot of room to work with if you're the Red Wings. I don't think David Perron is back. I think they've got a lot of room. It's a team that's close. It's a team that's got a lot of really good young players. He knows Steve Yzerman.
Yeah.
My gut is if Stamkos hits the open market, he goes to Detroit.
Okay, I'm gonna throw a team at you. I'm gonna throw a name at you, and call it wishful thinking. That's fine. There's no money for Steven Stamkos to go to Toronto. Right, like, I think if he had his druthers, like, if you're going to uproot your entire family, you're probably wanting to do that to be a little bit closer to home, which is Toronto. What about Buffalo?
Ooh.
What about Buffalo?
Yeah.
Like, you bring up Detroit. Ottawa certainly is another destination that you could talk yourself into, but what do the Buffalo Sabres need? They need a guy who knows how hard it is to win, that can play in the most meaningful games, that can be a leader. You traded Kyle Okposo. You don't have a captain right now. You need a guy that's done it before to kind of come in and raise the level of everyone's expectations inside of the organization. They'll have no issue whatsoever paying him what he needs. You can go as long-term or as short-term as you need to. He is close, geographically speaking anyway, to where he grew up. I think Buffalo makes a lot of sense. As much sense as Detroit makes, I think Buffalo is right there. And then I'm going to throw one more at you, because I love the idea of this from a pettiness perspective. Florida Panthers.
Oh, man.
Florida Panthers.
Oh. You're letting some guys walk if you're the Panthers, but what you gain, I think, is wow, that would be something.
Okay, so, like, let me ask you this question. So Florida's got about $20 million in projected cap space going into next season. They have, as I'm trying to find it, they have 7 forwards under contract. That's it. They've got Barkov, Tkachuk, Bennett, Verhaeghe, Rodriguez, Luo Stirainen, and Gadjevich. That's all they've got. So they've got to come to agreement on Anton Lundell, make a decision on Nick Cousins, Ryan Lomberg, Steven Lorenz, Kyle Okposo, Sam Reinhart. That's kind of the big one. Kevin Stenland and Vladimir Tarasenko. So they are pretty much bare in terms of their forward cupboard beyond this season. Now, that's okay if you decide that you want to go in a different direction beyond Sam Reinhart. If you don't want to re-sign Sam Reinhart, you go out there and you get Steven Stamkos. What I think would be really funny is if Steven Stamkos decided that he was going to take a hometown discount just to piss off the Tampa Bay Lightning. Like, you didn't make me, you didn't make me a priority. So not only am I going to take the hometown discount, I'm going to stay in the state. I'm going to take advantage of the no tax scenario, and I'm going to go win with the Florida Panthers.
Man. I love what I love about doing the show with you is I love how petty you are, and that would be
100%.
That would be the ultimate of all petty moves. Like, all right, you know what? I can keep my family in Tampa. I'm going to go across the state. Mm-hmm. It's only a short drive to Sunrise. Yeah. Oh my gosh, it would be so funny. I don't think he'll go to Florida, but oh my god,
no,
like,
I don't either.
I would love to see something like that happen.
I'm probably leaning more toward Buffalo, Detroit, a young team that needs that veteran presence, that needs that guy that can come in and give you quality minutes on the ice, but also the leadership that you need in order to win. And a place that's gonna pay him fair market value. And I think that Buffalo fits that bill. I think that Detroit fits that bill. I think both of those teams are close to actually making the playoffs and pushing in the right direction. And beyond them, I don't know if there's a whole lot of other teams that are going to be able to fit Stamkos in at a fair price tag.
Right, right. I think that's the point, right? There's really nowhere he could end up, I think, outside of those few teams that fit that bill of young team on the cusp. Like, Buffalo is interesting because they've got some really good young players as well who would certainly mm-hmm. benefit by playing with him. And both Detroit and Buffalo, not too far from Toronto. I mean, I know Buffalo's a lot closer, but Detroit, not that far away from Toronto either.
Okay, so let's shift gears from Steven Stamkos, and I want to get into Jake Guentzel. We'll skip over Sam Reinhart for now, mainly because Sam Reinhart's playing in a game six in just a few minutes. So we'll kind of let the dust settle there first. But Jake Guentzel, this is a tough one for me because I don't believe he's going to re-sign with the Carolina Hurricanes. I don't think Jake Guentzel has any appetite to go back to Pittsburgh and deal with Kyle Dubas. And I know that there was interest from the Vancouver Canucks at the trade deadline to do their best to acquire Jake Guentzel. I think for Vancouver, this is the swing. This is the opportunity. This is the play that you make in terms of the offseason to try to make you better. Vancouver's pretty well established and settled on the blue line, but they need more offense. They need more scoring. Like, one of the things that was painfully obvious from watching the Vancouver Canucks in the playoffs is that they couldn't generate a lot of quality and or quantity of chances against not the best teams when it comes to defensive structure. Like, they had trouble generating more than 15 shots a game against Nashville. That's not going to get it done. And if you want to take further steps, if you want to get better, if you want to have players that can help to unlock Elias Pettersson and the like, you're going to need to go out there and make a big splash. Like, Stamkos could fit there too, but I think Guentzel, younger, probably right in the wheelhouse of the core and the aging curve and what you want to see, I think Guentzel in Vancouver makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, I think it does too, because I don't think he resigns in Carolina. I think the ship has sailed there. But yeah. He's a guy who has won, which is something that the Canucks lack. They lack that leadership, that guy who's won. Again, young team. They've got some players they've got to resign. Like, I think it's imperative that they resign Nikita Zadorov. Absolutely love him. But
yeah,
they were in on Guentzel at the deadline. Like, there was a point where it was like, this may happen. He may end up in Vancouver. Carolina was able to pull it off and get Jake Guentzel at the end of the day. But I think Vancouver is heavily invested on signing Jake Guentzel. I would not be surprised if that's one of the very first signings we see when free agency opens on July. Is it July 1st? I think it opens. That happens, I would not be shocked to see Elliot Friedman reporting or Chris Johnston or Pierre LeBrun that Jake Guentzel has signed in Vancouver. I think it's going to happen quick because I think the Canucks have been working very, very diligently behind the scenes to make sure this happens. And I think without tampering, of course, you know, which is always one of those things. You're always like, how does it happen so fast if they're not tampering? But I think it's going to get done very, very quickly. And I think it's going to – I think that's as obvious as – obvious. I would be extremely shocked if he ended up anywhere else.
All right. Jonathan Marchessault.
Oh.
We spent a lot of time yesterday talking about Marchessault when it comes to his future with the Vegas Golden Knights. I don't want to approach this from the Golden Knight angle with Marchessault. I want to approach it from a little bit of a different view, right? You're coming off of the best 14 months you've ever had in the National Hockey League, right? Jonathan Marchessault is coming off of a Conn Smythe Trophy and a 42-goal year. In a lot of respects, when we talk about Steven Stamkos, why in those moments you wouldn't take a hometown discount or you'd want to go to market at full value price is because Stamkos has done it before. He did it again, another 40-goal season. You want to cash in as long as you can cash in. For Jonathan Marchessault, he's never been in this position before. He has never been at a point in his career where his value is as high as it is right now. He's never been in this spot. So you have kind of two sides of a coin, right? You have Jonathan Marchessault being in the perfect spot on the perfect team with the perfect coach and the perfect setting and wanting to keep that. And on the other side of the coin, you have the opportunity, the allure of making your services available to everybody and anybody in the league that wants to pay you what you're asking. And we know, based on the player, based on what he's accomplished, based on how he plays the game, his approach, all of that, there will be suitors lining up and there will be teams bidding on his services and what he can bring to the table. So in this scenario, if you're Jonathan Marchessault, what do you do? Where do you fall? We have heard him speak time and time again, and there is a player in that room that speaks with the level of reverence that Marchessault does for being a Vegas Golden Knight. He has called it the highlight of his career. He has made mention multiple times that it is the proudest thing he's ever done professionally. He is fit in. He has found his home. But at the end of the day, if someone's dangling that carrot in front of me, if someone's telling me that in 2 weeks you can have six or seven teams lining up saying they'll pay you whatever you want, they'll give you whatever you want in order to go, That might be enticing for a guy that's never been in this spot in his career before.
Yeah, that is the big question here. Because at the end of the day, I think Jonathan Marchessault does not want to play anywhere else. Like I
agree.
I think this is where he wants to be. Now, obviously the dollars are important for him. They should be. Like, I think if he really wants to stay here, I think he's going to take a little bit of a discount. But I don't think he should lower his standards just to stay here either. The thing with Jonathan Marchessault is if he does not sign with Vegas, I really don't know who's going to sign him because I feel like it's a team that has to contend. Like, they have to be close. Like, a team that's a playoff team and not just a fringe playoff team. Like, I think Jonathan Marchessault wants to win. And I think if Jonathan Marchessault is going to pack up his family and move, he's going to move for a team that has a chance to win a Stanley Cup. I don't know who fits that bill that could afford him. Like, immediately my mind starts to think, well, New York Rangers, do they have the cap space? Maybe. I don't know where he would fit with the Rangers. But I mean, he's not going to go to like St. Louis or he's not going to go to Ottawa. He's not going to go to a team that isn't going to win. Mm-hmm. So there has to be that balance between winning and getting paid. And I don't know if there's anyone who has that opportunity better than Las Vegas.
Well, that's you hit the nail on the head there, right? Like if you're talking about balancing everything out. Your ability to win another championship, the ability to maybe take a little bit less than you get on the open market, but understanding where you live, the perks of living in Vegas and playing in Vegas, and understanding how beloved you are by the fans, and just being comfortable in a situation. Like, again, there's no better spot here. Every time we go through these exercises when it comes to Marchessault, there's no better spot. Like, in terms of coaching, in terms of front office, in terms of trying your best to win every single year and that being the expectation, like, there's no other place but Vegas. That being said, I don't know. Part of me felt like at the beginning of the offseason, I was like 75-25.
Stay or go?
And I believed, that he was going to stay.
Okay.
Like 75-25 that he was going to stay. As we get closer and closer, and listen, I get it. I do. There's still a lot of time between now and July 1st. A lot of things can change. There's a lot of momentum that can be built up on one or both sides. But the closer we get, the farther my numbers are plummeting. Like right now, I think I'm 50-50. You can sell me on it either way, and I'd believe you, because I think that it's really that much at the moment up in the air.
Yeah, and that's the tough part of this, because we don't have any real insight, and we haven't had any real insight other than what we heard on locker cleanout day, and that was like back in April. So I'm a little more in the camp of him staying, but as every day we get, like, the problem is we're running out of runway. Like, we are, and maybe this is a similar situation to what we were talking about with Stamkos. Like, I don't think Marchessault would have the built up animosity or disappointment that he wasn't re-signed prior to last season beginning, coming off the Conn Smythe, because I think there was a lot to it was a very interesting offseason, and I don't know if maybe there was time for a deal to get done, but you've had all season to get this done. And there were reports that maybe there wasn't any talks going on during the season. So I think this is one where I'm with you. I could go either way. I'm probably like 55-45 that he stays, maybe 60-40. I'm not that far away from you, but just like you, every day that goes by, I bite my nails a little bit more, thinking we could be up against it here. We might run into a situation where we're on June 30th and he's not signed.
Do you feel more confident in Steven Stamkos walking to free agency than Jonathan Marchessault?
Yes. Yes, I do. I do.
It's wild, isn't it?
I know.
That's... like, you're talking about a guy that's 17 years in the organization.
Yeah.
And it feels more inevitable that Steven Stamkos has played his last game as a Tampa Bay Lightning than Jonathan Marchessault has played his last game as a Golden Knight.
I'll tell you why I feel that way. Because I feel like there's a lot less room cap-wise for the Lightning to get a deal done with Stamkos than there is for the Golden Knights to get one done with Marchessault. Like, I feel like the Golden Knights have options. Like, there's certain things they can do to get Marchessault signed. Mm-hmm. I think unless Stamkos is willing to take a lot, and I mean a lot less money than his value is, I just don't see it money cap wise for him to be in Tampa. Yeah. I think the Golden Knights they have the ability to manipulate the cap a little bit more to get Marchessault to fit than the Lightning do to get Stamkos to fit. The big question I have about is what do they do with the commercial with him and Victor Hedman and Victor Hedman's son? Do they take that one off the air?
They'll just reshoot it with Nikita Kucherov. Yeah.
not putting in the effort.
I think the thing you're hitting on is important, because the Golden Knights, while the dollars and cents are very similar to what Tampa's got, there is less defined roles for players and less players under contract in Tampa than there is here in Vegas. So you have seven defensemen under contract, as the Golden Knights do. Tampa Bay Lightning don't have that. They've still got to sign some defensemen. You have more of the infrastructure in place. so that it can help you to facilitate whatever you need to do in order to get Marchessault accomplished if that's the direction the organization goes. So I'm with you there. I feel like, you know, again, I'm kind of 50-50 when it comes to Marchessault. I am more inclined to believe that Stamkos is gone, and I think if anything is in terms of free agency you can bank on, it's that Jake Guentzel is probably going to be a Vancouver Canuck. We're going to take a break, come back with one-timers next on the VGK Insider Show.
Carlson left corner, centered, one-timer, score!
It's time for one-timers. One-timers. A quick look at news and notes from around the National Hockey League. Brought to you by Paul Padilaw. It's not about the injury, it's about the recovery.
One-timers brought to you by Paul Padilaw. It's not about the injury, it's about the recovery. News and notes from around the National Hockey League, and we will start with Game 6 of the Stanley Cup Final. I had a burning question surrounding Leon Draisaitl and whether or not he would get going in the Stanley Cup Final, and it appears that Leon has answered me early on by setting up the first goal of the game for Warren Fogle. Shots are 5-1, 9 minutes into the game in favor of the Edmonton Oilers. It is 1-0 Edmonton. Draisaitl on the board with an assist. Warren Fogle with the goal. And the Florida Panthers, another listless start.
Great observation.
Thanks, Leon. I appreciate it. Okay. The Pittsburgh Penguins have re-signed goalie Alex Nedeljkovic to a 2-year, $2.5 million AAV contract. That shores up their tandem, at least for the next couple of years, with Tristan Jarry. So your tandem in Pittsburgh is Jarry and Nedeljkovic. Penguins have just south of $8 million in goaltending next season. Chapman, here's my question for you. Is that too much money to spend on goaltending, given who your tandem is?
Yes. Yeah, it is. I mean, Tristan Jarry, I mean, decent goalie. I don't necessarily know if he's more than Aiden Hill money-wise goalie, mm-hmm. but, I mean, that's what they're paying him. They're paying him more than the Golden Knights yeah. are paying Aiden Hill, and I know who I'd rather have.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you. Like, at times last year, Alex Nedeljkovic was the best goalie for the Pittsburgh Penguins. So it's a good bit of business getting Nedeljkovic under contract for a pretty reasonable 2.5. But at the same time, like, I think you're spending $8 million or just about $8 million on that tandem. It feels like you could have done better in some regard. So we'll see how that kind of tracks for Pittsburgh next year. This was amazing. It was a moment of brutal honesty from Don Waddell. The new Columbus Blue Jackets president of hockey operations made it clear that Elvis Merzlikins would not be traded. This is what Waddell had to say to Aaron Portsline of The Athletic. Quote, man, let's be honest. Nobody is going to trade for that contract. Nobody. End quote. Like, listen, I know you like Elvis. I know yes. you're a big Elvis guy. Like, I do. I get it. But 3 years, $5.4 million AAV on the contract for Merzlikins. Don Waddell's right. No one's trading for that. He also kind of threw out the idea that you could just buy the contract out. It's going to count against your cap for 6 years. By the time you are hopeful to kind of turn a corner, if you're Columbus, you don't want that dead cap on your books. So you're not trading them because you can't, because no one's going to trade for it. You're not going to retain money on it to facilitate a trade because that doesn't help you. You're not going to buy them out because, again, that's dead cap when you're going to need it. You're stuck. Don Waddell's stuck with Elvis Merzlikins, and he knows it, and he's not afraid to let everybody know that he's stuck.
Yeah, that's one of those ones where you look at the previous administration and you're like, yeesh, like, what were you guys doing? I mean, like, he had been a good goalie, but he had never been great. Like, he had shown yeah. signs of potentially being a good goalie if the team in front of him was good. But the team stinks. He's not great. So I don't know why he got that much money when he hadn't really earned that much money, especially when you knew that you were going to be going through it. It was a bad contract by the Jarmo Kekalainen.
Jarmo Kekalainen.
Yeah. And now the new front office is stuck. They're stuck with Elvis Merzlikins as their goalie. Whether or not they can find someone younger to be better, I mean, not sure what you think of Daniil Tarasov, but he's young and he's cheap, but I don't know if he could play with that team. It's not a very good team.
I think that you recognize what next year is going to be. It's going to be painful. It's going to be hard.
It's going to be like this year.
You're hopeful. Well, think about it this way.
And the year before.
Well, sure. But think about it from this perspective. You go into next season. If you're Don Waddell, you are hopeful for two things. One, you make the right decision when it comes to hiring a head coach. Two, Elvis Merzlikins plays well. If Elvis plays well, right? Because we do this often with goaltenders. We're at their low. We don't want to trade for them. We don't want to talk about them as being, young goaltenders that have the ability to establish themselves. We don't want to do any of that. When they are not playing well, we look at those contracts as albatross. Now, if Merzlikins plays well, if he's really good, if you get the right coach involved that can kind of shore things up defensively, and all of a sudden you get good numbers out of Merzlikins, maybe he plays himself into a position where you can trade him. And then you can get out from under that contract. And then you can utilize pieces coming back on the other side of a trade to make your team better. I think if you're Don Waddell, you put this out here, you say flat out, let's be honest, nobody's going to trade for that contract, nobody, because you know that player is going to see it. You know that player is going to look at that quote and say, you know what, you don't believe in me? I'm going to prove you wrong. And in the process of proving Don Waddell wrong, he might just put himself into a position to get what he wants, Merzlikins, that's a trade out of Columbus, and it might work out for Don Waddell too. I think it's brilliant, it's masterful, it is well done from Don Waddell. You got an underperforming player, you let the world know that nobody would be crazy enough to trade for that contract, hoping that the player looks at that quote and says, challenge accepted.
I mean, it's like a go out and prove me. Prove me wrong. Show me what you got.
Yeah. All right. So shifting gears from Elvis Merzlikins to Andrew Cogliano. He retires. Yeah, I know. Goodness gracious. I wanted to add an extra syllable to the name. I don't know why. Andrew Cogliano retires after 17 seasons in the National Hockey League, and he'll join the Colorado Avalanche front office after retirement. He won the Stanley Cup in 2022 with the Avs. He played 1,294 games. Cogliano only missed over the course of his entire career 27 games. So he missed 27 games in 17 seasons. His Ironman streak was up to, I think, about 830 games, and then he was suspended for an illegal check to the head. Unfortunate, but that ended his Ironman streak and his Ironman bid. But he was incredibly durable, skates like the wind, and he's going to join the Avs front office and will serve in a player development scouting type of role. Just a great career for Andrew Cogliano, and I'm glad that it ended in the Stanley Cup.
Yeah,
I don't know. I know it didn't end in the Stanley Cup, but I'm glad that he was able to put his name on that thing because he's one of those unheralded bottom of your lineup, middle six to bottom six forward that just does everything right and comes up clutch in the big moments.
Yeah, similar to what I think I described what I could foresee for Alec Martinez with the Golden Knights. I mean, Cogliano obviously was not a guy who played a majority of his career in Colorado. But nonetheless, you win a Stanley Cup with that organization, and Martinez has a couple different places he could look to for that. But I think for a lot of players, if they want to continue to be around the game, it's a good opportunity to take on roles within the front office. I mean, we saw it with Nick Holden, and certainly now Cogliano doing that for Colorado. I think it's only a positive thing. Like, I don't see any negatives to things like this.
Yeah, I'm with you there. We are
That was a big
we are about 14 minutes into the game. And the Edmonton Oilers are absolutely rolling the Florida Panthers. Shots are 9-1 Edmonton. Florida cannot do anything outside of just chip pucks out of their own zone. That's it. The Oilers' pressure is too much right now for the Florida Panthers.
Ten goals Bobrovsky's allowed in the last three games.
Yeah, I don't want to make any like sweeping predictions here, but the Florida Panthers need to find their game, and they need to find it fast. First and foremost, it'd be great if they can find their game now, but they need to get to intermission only trailing by one. If it's a larger deficit than that, I seriously, seriously doubt the Florida Panthers are going to come back.
Yeah, I just don't know what they're... Because, I mean, Edmonton is not only putting them...
They're all over them.
Yeah.
They're all over them.
Yep. I mean, look at this shift right here. This is another dominant shift by Edmonton.
It frankly looks like the Edmonton Oilers are on a power play and have been
the only shot,
for the entirety.
The only shot they've had on net came from 170 feet away. So it's not even a real shot.
Jeez. Unbelievable. Those are your one-timers for today, Friday, June 21st. Catching up with Chapman is next.
When the guy wouldn't stop talking, we had no choice but to give him his own segment. It's time for Catching Up with Chapman.
All right, Ryan. Well, no major plans for Chapman this weekend. But it's no secret my life tends to revolve around my dogs now. So what we are planning on doing this weekend is going up to the store. We're going to buy one of those kiddie pools, little plastic circle ones. And we're going to buy a pool for our dogs because it's just so damn hot. And the dogs can't go in the pool at our apartment complex, obviously. So we're going to see how they like that one. And we're going to do that tomorrow morning. And hopefully the dogs have fun with the swimming pool and cool off a little bit because it's certainly getting hot.
Where are you going to put the kiddie pool?
We have a little area in our complex where there's a hose. And so we could hook it up to the hose and we could put the water in that way. There's a drain. So it's like one of those like AstroTurf areas. So it'll be cool. We'll see how they like it. I think my wife's looking forward to it more than me.
Yeah, I mean, listen, it's hot out there. So you gotta make sure that you are cooling off any way that you can. And if you're the Florida Panthers, you're hopeful that the Edmonton Oilers will cool off sometime soon. Though it does look like the Florida Panthers are going to survive a penalty kill. Shots are 11-2 in favor of the Oilers, 1-0 Edmonton, game 6. If the Oilers win, they force game 7 on Monday. And right now, it really does feel like we've got a game 7 in store. Have a great weekend, everybody. Stay cool. Stay safe, and we'll talk to you on Monday.